to Unceded Airwaves by the Indigenous Collective at CITR 101.9 FM. Unceded Airwaves is broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, unceded, and current lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Today's show intro was OCM by Susan Aglukark.
Unceded Airwaves broadcasts every week from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Autumn Chanel Vilji, I'm Treaty 11 Gwich'in and Inuvialuit on my mother's side, and I was born and raised on Treaty 6 territory, or Amaskwatchi-Waskayagin, of the Cree, Métis, Nakota Sioux, and Soto peoples. And I acknowledge that I'm an uninvited guest on unceded Coast Salish lands, and I'm very grateful to be here. I've been here for about 6 months, and I am grateful every single day. Do you want to introduce yourself, Melissa?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Melissa Habrel. I am a settler of German and Austrian descent. I've been living in Vancouver for about 5 years now. I'm originally from Epiquette, also known as Prince Edward Island. That's traditional and unceded Mi'kmaq territory. I'm grateful to be here as an uninvited guest on Musqueam lands today and every day.
Do you want to go next, Ben?
Sure. My name is Ben Chung. I'm Korean and Jewish and grew up mostly on the unceded territories of the Shawnee people in the United States. And I also am an unceded guest on the Coast Salish territories here, and I'm grateful as well.
Do you want to go, Carly?
Yes, Tanshe, Carly Dishnikanshon. Hello, my name is Carly. I'm Cree Métis on my dad's side and Icelandic settler on my mom's side. My Métis family comes from Treaty 1 territory, the Red River Settlement in Manitoba, but I was born and raised on Stalo territory. I'm a student here at UBC on Musqueam territory, and I'm very grateful to be a guest here on unceded Coast Salish territories.
Beautiful. We would like to thank our sponsors, Decolonizing Water and NORAD Electric. You're listening to Season 3, Episode 11 of Unceded Airwaves. Today we will be talking about the INAC poster, or the Indigenous and Northern Affairs Canada poster that INAC released in Yellowknife. We have Nigan, and she was one of the three models, here to talk about her perspective and the backlash that she got. I also commented on the initial CBC article, so we will both share our opinions on that matter. But before we get into it, let's set our intention for the day. So we are the Indigenous Radio Collective. Every week we discuss Indigenous issues, current events, and entertainment. We are a collective of Indigenous and non-Indigenous students who use our weekly airtime for our own self-representation.
We strive to center Indigenous voices on our show and to build narratives that empower Indigenous peoples. Unceded Airwaves is our opportunity to share and define the diversity of Indigenous cultures and highlight some influential Indigenous people.
If you can relate to the goals of the show and are wondering how to get involved, please reach out. You can always reach us on our social media. We've got Facebook and Twitter. And if you have a voice for decolonization, we want to hear from you.
Everyone is welcome, and there is no experience necessary. Our weekly meeting is every Monday at 4 p.m. at CITR in the lower level of the Nest. Haha, just kidding. It's not on Mondays. It's on Wednesdays from 1 to 2. And if you want to get involved but don't want to be on air, there are plenty of ways to participate in the collective.
You can follow Unceded Airwaves on Facebook and Twitter. If you're aware of a great Indigenous artist, send us a tweet using the hashtag UncededMusic or send us a Facebook message at Unceded Airwaves, and we'll do our best to get it on air. And if you play a song you send us, we'll even give you a shout out.
We're always looking to hear from our listeners about what you're up to. So let us know about any Indigenous artists that you're into right now and what events you're attending or promoting. We've got a ton of them today, I see. So listen up. Stay all the way till the end. As always, we'll post a link to the podcast of this episode after the show. We'll have our weekly unceded events right at the end. As I said, stick around. We got a lot.
And before we play this next song, I would like to dedicate it to my dear friend Jenny. Jenny plays bass in this band, and guess what? They'll be here in March, on March 3rd at the Astoria at 9 p.m. Faith Healer and Supermoon are both playing, and I'll be there, my mom will be there, your best friend will be there, your best friend's grandma will be there, and you should probably be there too.
You're a member of CITR and Discorder, but are you a true friend?
Get a Friends of CITR and Discorder card for $20 with discounts on Commercial Drive at
Audio Pile, High Life Records, Mintage, People's Co-op Bookstore, Stormcrow Tavern, The Rio Theater, JQ Clothing Limited, and Bone Rattle Music Limited. Mint Records and CITR and Discorder present Edmonton's indie psych favorite, Faith Healer. It's their first time in Vancouver, so let's show some Van City love on Saturday, March 3rd at the Astoria, with special guests, local fuzz poppers Supermoon and Ellen Noon from Victoria.
The song you just heard was Again by the lovely Amaskwachi Waskayagan-based band, Faith Healer. For this portion of the show, we will be discussing a controversial image that Indigenous and Northern Affairs Canada put up in Yellowknife. You can also find the photo shared on our Unceded Airwaves Facebook page. The Indigenous Collective interviewed Negan Azawakishin, the model in the poster that decreed as being stereotypically presented as Pocahontas. We will be sharing that with you next. But to begin, here is Melissa and a bunch of other collective members with some background on the topic.
Okay, so for folks listening in that aren't aware of the poster and controversy we're discussing, here are the details. Earlier in January, Indigenous Northern Affairs Canada, or INAC, put up a poster promoting certificates of Indian status, commonly known as status cards, outside their department office in Yellowknife, as well as online on the INAC website. The poster depicted three Indigenous individuals holding up status cards in front of a background that included images of a bison, eagle, bear, and a wolf.
Photos and critiques of the poster were quickly posted to Facebook. The CBC then published a story highlighting the criticisms, which prompted a social media firestorm of more critiques, frustrations, and counterarguments. The overwhelming grievance was that the poster presented Indigenous peoples, and specifically Indigenous women, in stereotypical and outdated ways, and that the woman at the forefront of the poster looked like Pocahontas and played into the longstanding and harmful Native princess image and narrative.
Charlotte Overvold, a Northern Slave Dene woman, said that to CBC that the representation of the Disney film Pocahontas is a horrific misrepresentation of Indigenous women, and that, quote, as an Indigenous woman who has often had to fight this racist stereotype of an outdated portrayal of an Indigenous woman, this is a huge part of the problem. Crystal Fraser, a historian of Canadian history and Indigenous issues, was quoted as saying, "The federal government is still concerned with policing our identities, with presenting static images of Indigenous people that don't reflect our lives anymore."
Following the backlash, the online image and the poster outside the INAC office in Yellowknife were both removed. In the middle of the controversy, however, Negan Azawakishin, the model whose outfit, jewelry, and aesthetic were being targeted by critics for perpetuating stereotypes, Negan, who bore the brunt of the backlash around the poster, had a very different perspective on the issue.
On January 16th, Gitsan journalist Angela Sterich shared an important statement from Negan via Twitter. Negan said, quote, "I am briefly coming out of mourning my son to share something. I was the model in this photo. The wardrobe and clothing were completely of my own choice. INAC reps did not request that I look any particular way. I did not see or hear any of the other models asked to dress in any kind of way. We chose our jewelry and traditional clothing on our own accord. I dressed this way because I was very proud of the way I looked. I believe I did a good job representing our people. I am sorry if anyone disagrees. Real and true journalism seeks facts and all sides of the story, and this story is unfortunately not balanced. And for those that were personally offended by my chosen appearance, I'm sorry. We have a lot of work to do in Indigenous country. Let's work hard and choose our battles and seek media coverage strategically and thoughtfully. I can see and understand how my fatigue and loss, how we fatigue and lose non-Indigenous allies with this kind of overblown rhetoric. Stop blaming INAC. Nothing good will ever come from that. We are all responsible for ourselves, our families, our communities. That is how and where we achieve real change."
After following this controversy, the Indigenous Collective wanted to explore this story further and invited Negan for an interview. We're very grateful to Negan for coming in and sharing your views with us, in particular during this incredibly difficult time in her life. Here's what Negan Azawakishin had to say.
It's Negan Azawakishin. First and foremost, I'm a lawyer and an advisor. I work for a company called First Peoples Group that originated in Ottawa, Ontario, and we work with governments, proponent companies, and First Nations that want to get involved in business development or cultural awareness training and research and different types of projects related to Indigenous community development and business development.
Great.
So on the topic of the INAC poster, I know there's been like a diversity of opinions that have come out about that I'm sure you've you're right in the middle of, and we wanted to give you a chance to speak back to those, and maybe we can start with some of the critiques and then kind of like go from there. So the kind of critiques around it portraying Indigenous people in like a stereotypical way. So Autumn, what was your reaction to that, or how did you see it?
Initially, like when I first saw it, people were pointing out that it looked like Pocahontas, and I saw it, like the blue jewelry and stuff. And then there are also the animals at the bottom, and like those are stereotypical. I would say like they aren't representative of my culture at all, and like I'm Indigenous to Canada, so it was hard to look at and be like, oh well, I'm excluded from this. But I also know that INAC, that's very common of INAC, they aren't always inclusive, and it's hard to be when there's so many nations in Canada, but it was kind of hard to look at, I would say, for my opinion.
Yeah. So, Negan, when the critiques came out, like, how did you react to it, or what did you kind of see people saying, and did it resonate with you at all? Or,
well, I understand that we don't all look the same. Yeah. We all come from different communities and from coast to coast to coast. Mm-hmm. We physically look different. We have different cultural backgrounds, different communities. There's so many commonalities, but yet so much diversity mm-hmm. and difference as well. And we should be celebrating that and honoring that. And, you know, when I saw the final product, it reminded me of your average campaign from INAC or the Assembly of First Nations or the Native Women's Association of Canada. I think that when you have a campaign that's targeted to Indigenous peoples from coast to coast to coast, it's virtually impossible to represent an image that everyone will be able to connect with and identify with. And I think that's an important concern. And I think that part of this conversation hopefully will hopefully get organizations and governments to think about how to localize and target their campaigns so that people in the North or people in the Maritimes feel like they're represented in these communication campaigns. Because it's important. There's policy and law happening at a federal level that affects communities. And so we need to have campaigns. We need to have awareness campaigns and communication campaigns. And there's never going to be one campaign that, that honors everybody, but I don't think perfection is, and I think having a goal of making everybody happy, it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not possible to make everybody happy, but it's important to have a goal in mind of being as representative mm-hmm. as possible.
And I think that's what my main problem was, is like it was on Treaty 11 territory, and I am a Treaty 11 person, so it was hard to be like, okay, but this isn't representative of where I'm from, and this is the land that I'm on, and like INAC I think did a really bad job with it, and that's what my main critique was. Like, it wasn't to you as a human being or even to the other people or to the animals, it was to where it was and INAC for putting it there.
I agree with that for sure, and in that case it's important for everybody in every community to feel like they have a voice and they can be heard. And my only issue with the way that the whole story unfolded was that it wasn't, you know, a cartoon or a graphic image. These were real people on a poster, real people from communities. And it's very difficult when, you know, we're faced with these images on the internet to remember that.
Yeah.
And I understand 100% that we need to have a space for discussion and dialogue. And, that's of the utmost importance, because all of the issues that were brought to light, in my personal opinion, were important. But it's really tempting and difficult in this day and age not to succumb to a knee-jerk reaction. It's always important, I think, to ask questions and talk before coming to conclusions and judgments, because mm-hmm. that's not our way. I mean, at least, and you know, I've talked about this with other media outlets. In my community, we have, the seven grandfather teachings, and that's honesty, truth, humility, respect, love, There's one more that I can't remember, but kindness.
Yeah.
Kindness is for some reason one of the seven grandfather teachings from my community that it just becomes a stronger and stronger value for me personally every single day. Yeah. And I don't know if a lot of people know about this, but I recently lost my son. Excuse me. And
no, it's okay. Take as much time as you need. Yeah. It's really okay. Yeah.
And I try not to talk about it very much because I don't want it to distract from the issue or make me more, even more of a victim or taking the position of a victim.
I think that you definitely were victimized, though. Like, yeah. Reddit was a deep place. And, like, yeah. So was Twitter. And, like, people weren't always kind in their critiques.
Exactly.
And that's not okay.
Yeah. And, you know, my niece was on that poster, another, you know, well-respected man from that community, and I don't think that anybody thought about the people that the community members that were a part of this campaign and this project. And we could have said no. It was an INET campaign, and we could have said no. Mm-hmm. But then what would have happened without our involvement and our input, being the good, kind community members that we are? So we took on that role to participate and try to make something that could have been a disaster a little bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, people were criticizing our appearance, and it's, I don't feel sorry for myself. And I know the people that were involved in this campaign, including the communications company that I've known my whole life, a really well-known group in Ottawa. They're good people. We didn't mean to hurt anyone. But we did. It did. The campaign hurt people. And I totally understand that. But the thing is, in this day and age, it's more important than ever for people in our community, an Indigenous community and non-Indigenous community, to take notice of the values of our culture and how important it is to treat each other respectfully and have a conversation and not just go and attack. You know, these screens and these laptops and these smartphones give us a platform to share a voice that so many Indigenous people haven't been able to share. We haven't had a space to defend ourselves and to defend our culture and our image and stand up against cultural appropriation. Yeah. But now we're at a place, we have that voice, we have the platform, but now it's our own responsibility, every single one of us, to decide how we're going to do it. Yeah. Are we going to talk with each other in a way that's going to, you know, unfold all of the layers of the conversation? Or are we just going to be offensive against each other? Mm-hmm. And a lot of, you know, in that photo, I had, by coincidence, had just come back from Jamaica, so I was very tanned and very brown, but I'm more of a lighter complexion, and my sister Amber is very light skin. And sometimes if you're from mixed ancestry or you have lighter skin, you don't feel comfortable going into certain Indigenous communities and spaces if you've grown out side of the community, you know, as a result of residential school or 60 scoop or being adopted out or whatever the issue is. Coming back into that space is a very sensitive, fragile experience for a lot of people. And this kind of conversation, I think, could really discourage and have a really sad, chilling effect on people embracing Indigenous circles. And I've seen it. I've seen it my whole life. You see the people on the periphery at powwows or at ceremony that are really sort of shy and they don't feel comfortable and they don't know how much space that they can take, and I really, really breaks my heart to see that. And I think now we all have a place and a responsibility at this moment and this time to give everybody a voice, to treat each other with open arms and respect and kindness. And you know, it was really difficult to have to deal with all of this right now when I'm grieving and my family is mourning. But at the same time, you know, I'm at a place where I'm the most patient I think I've ever been. So this is the time for me to get involved and have this conversation. There's other people that were involved in this campaign, other models and spokespeople that I hope would you know, join the conversation.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, like, I really appreciate what you've shared, because I think when you see it, like, especially when that first CBC article came out, it really feels like, oh, INAC is trying to curate this really specific image or something. And I felt like a lot of the critiques were targeted at that. And like you said, like, you kind of forget the human aspect of it, that, look, there's real people in these photos that were making their own decisions, just being themselves, dressing however they were going to dress, right? It's kind of this weird disconnection, I feel like, how people can kind of dehumanize it almost and be like, oh, here's just this another image we have to deal with. Just, I don't want to, like, delegitimize people's reactions in some respect in terms of if they felt it was harmful. But
yeah. It can be harmful to you, but you can also deal with it in a respectful way.
Yeah. Jumping on it in that way, I feel like, kind of misses that part. And it's kind of like, it's just making it into this simple thing that you can just, like, attack, instead of seeing it as, okay, well, there's these, like, really intense legacies of colonization and representation that Indigenous people have had to deal with forever and are still dealing with. But there's also still, like, real people and community members that also have a right to their own representation. And so I feel like that part was kind of missed in the critiques.
Yeah, I think so. I think so, too. And it's funny, my sister and I were talking this morning about this issue, and she was reading some passages to me from Haydn King. And there was some discussion in one of his books about, there was a really powerful quote that was along the lines of, you're not the Indian I had in mind. Mm-hmm. And there could be two ways to interpret that statement. One being, you know, maybe, you know, some of us sitting in this room in, you know, casual street clothing, maybe we're not the image of an Indigenous person that mainstream mm-hmm. society would like to see. Mm-hmm. But then the other side of the interpretation of that statement is, amongst our own community, amongst Indigenous peoples, what do we expect each other to look like? How traditional are we expected to be? How connected to your community are you supposed to be? Mm-hmm. And so not only is the external non-Indigenous society attempting to police our identities, we're starting to do it ourselves.
Yeah.
And I really think that's a dangerous place to be in. It's important to celebrate our difference and talk mm-hmm. about it and find strength and unity in that, because in this, you know, internal island across North America, our communities have really, really important issues to grapple and to deal with. And identity shouldn't be one that separates us. It should be something that unifies us, so that we have strength in numbers to fight the bigger battles. And something that really, I think, was lost and missed in all of the discussion about this poster is the issue of Indian status. Yeah. To me, that was the mm-hmm. most harmful, prevalent issue that nobody talked about. The federal government, since 1876, has been policing mm-hmm. and determining Indigenous identity by way of legislation and these little cards, these certificates of Indian status. And the government can give you one, and then they can also take it away. Mm-hmm. And that was the biggest issue that I grappled with before getting involved in this campaign. That was what I expected there to be backlash about, not what we looked like in the pictures or which animals were in the background.
I think the hard part about that is people just kind of accept that our identity is going to be on that little card. So, like, if it's going to be there, why not critique everything else also? Mm-hmm. You know? And, like, it's never something that I have had a choice about. It's just, like, you have status. They're going to pay for your, like, eyes to get checked, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it is a choice, but I don't know of anybody that's ever chosen not to get a status card.
Yeah,
I mean, you hear about it, but I haven't met such a person yet, and I'd like to, because it's
if
really
you're listening. We want to find
you. Hit me up on Instagram. I just grapple with that constantly, and you know, there's so many other really, really important issues about who we are and our land base and our territories and our resources and our responsibility of stewardship. You know, there's so many bigger issues, and I just thought, I really wish we could have talked about that and not, you know, who's wearing what jewelry and looked like which cartoon character. I just felt like that there's nothing wrong with talking about that, but we only have so much space and time and energy, and we've got to be like strategic and prioritize things in a way that's strategic and will get us some results.
So it's almost like the controversy that kind of came out just detracted away from potentially more productive conversations.
I think so. And something else, I don't want to talk about it too much. I don't want to give too much energy and power to it. But we live in a society, a global community and society, where there are so many human rights and community issues that we have to deal with. And I think the general population is really having a hard time dealing with that, dealing with, you know, gender identity, with race issues, with, you know, oppression and power issues. And there's a huge resistance around the world to, you know, respecting people's needs and diversity. And people are so polarized. And this conversation worried me in that it'll just contribute to people who are already polarizing themselves.
Yeah.
I see so many comments, even from our own communities, of people, like, these are quotes, this is not my opinion, people saying, like, oh, everything offends everybody now. Everyone has to be so politically correct, and we can't do anything anymore. And we were laughing this morning because this man on Facebook tagged me in a photo of him in a turquoise necklace holding a status card saying, do I look like an Indian princess? Like making fun of the whole thing.
Why can't people just be respectful, though? That's the thing.
I know. I mean, and it was silly, but at the same time, it's just, you know, people are going to be really quick to trivialize those standing up for what they believe is right and or hurtful and needs to be discussed. So my personal opinion is, for every issue, we need to be very strategic and thoughtful. And I hope CBC Indigenous has taken some learnable moments from all of this, because their initial report, and I think a lot of their reports, and I think even APTN, get to be very sensational.
It's very reactionary.
Yeah. And we have a huge problem of lateral violence and gossiping and crabs in the bucket syndrome in our communities. And it's starting to be reflected in how our own Indigenous media groups are reporting stories. I've seen it, and I don't feel comfortable about it. And I think that that's something that needs to be addressed. Because a lot of our, you know, our leaders who have, you know, have sordid pasts, and it comes to light and everybody just attacks each other. Yeah. And instead of saying, okay, here's, you know, a man or a woman in our community who has, you know, perpetuated violence in our communities, let's find out what healing they need, what happened to them, what abuse and violence did they go through to learn and in turn perpetuate and distribute that and back into the community. I feel like that's the root of it. And I hope that some of the media groups will take that lesson, and hopefully we'll start to change how we report and discuss and have dialogue.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point, because when you think about that initial piece by the CBC, they didn't have your voice in there at all.
Yeah.
If they had have started out, if that was the immediate, because that was the piece that made the whole social media reaction come out. If they had framed it as, here are these views, here are what some people are saying was problematic, and here's the people in the poster and what they said and how they interacted with this whole campaign. Mm-hmm. There's so much power in those media institutions to frame how the conversation ends up playing out.
And right? It could have been so different, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, people probably still gonna say rude things, but it could have changed at least the way the masses saw it.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think we're kind of at the end of our interview. Is there anything else you wanted to share?
No, I think that's it.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, great. Yeah. Thank you so much, Edith Airwaves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for reaching out. I appreciate the invitation a great deal. Mi kwech.
I'm Melissa. I'm a settler from Epiquette, or Prince Edward Island, the traditional territories of the Mi'kmaq peoples.
Hi, I'm Ben. I'm Jewish and Korean and grew up mostly in Shawnee Territory in the United States.
My name is Autumn Schnell, and I am Treaty 11 Gwich'in and Inuvialuit on my mom's side, and on my dad's side, I am of German descent.
And we're members of the Indigenous Collective.
Do you have a passion for Indigenous issues?
What about decolonization?
Our show, Unceded Airways, airs every Monday at 11 a.m., so come by CITR to hang out.
If you're interested in Indigenous representation and empowerment, or just want to hang out with cool folks who are, then this collective is for you.
Email volunteer at CITR.ca to get involved.
You're just playing a game.
It's more than that. It's about adventure and saving the world and having magic. UBC Theater and Film presents a high-octane dramatic comedy laden with homicidal fairies,
evil succubi,
and 90s pop culture.
Acclaimed playwright Ki Gwin offers a life-changing journey for the geek within us all. Join Agnes the Ass-Headed on her quest to find and free the lost soul of her deceased sister in She Kills Monsters. From January 18th to February 3rd at 7:30 p.m.
in the Telus Studio Theater at the Chan Center for the Performing Arts. It's a Dungeons & Dragons tale exploring sexual identity, grief,
and some hella fierce woman warriors who about to open up a can of whoop-ass on ya.
The song you just heard was March of the Wild by Laura Ortman. For this segment of the show, Autumn, Ben, and I will be discussing how we felt about the interview with Negan and our critiques for Indigenous and Northern Affairs Canada, as well as the CBC. So what do you think about all this, Autumn?
I think I have a lot of feelings about this. I mean, initially, I was one of the commenters on the CBC article. I didn't quite know about their ethics, but I think a lot of my opinions have remained the same, and I liked how Negan kind of backed those.
Mm-hmm.
Although I do think that people were really mean to her, and that's not fair at all.
Yeah.
We can have critiques in a nice way. And I wasn't critiquing her as a human being. I was critiquing INAC because they were perpetuating stereotypes, I would say, on the status card. My first problem initially is status cards, as Negan touched on. Because, like, what is that? Why do I have to have a card that defines my identity, first of all? Second of all, I think that, like, a status card event is fine. But, again, if one of you listening is somebody who is Indigenous and does not have a status card or chooses to not have a status card, like, reach out. I don't know anybody, but
that has the opportunity to have it, you mean, within the really restrictive colonial rules
exactly.
You require to get one.
And what does it mean? Yeah, like, I don't know. I have some things about that. But I think it's also up to INAC to acknowledge when stereotypes are being perpetuated. And INAC obviously did not do that, which is a fault of INAC. It's not a fault of anybody who is in the photo. They were just the means that they used to get their message across.
Right.
Right. And INAC needs to change its message. If we don't change the message, then how are we going to ever change anything systemically? First of all. And second of all, like, I have a friend, shout out to you, Emily, who works in policy analyzing for a nation in the Lower Mainland. And she says that, like, when INAC does presentations or whenever they send out photos, like, it'll be targeted towards people here, but they'll use igloos on their pictures. And, like, they need to localize where they're doing, where their campaign is, I would say.
And Negan spoke to that as well.
Yeah. And so I think we had a lot of the same critiques towards the thing or towards the poster. And I liked how we kind of had the same opinion about that. I think Negan was incredibly well spoken. She articulated what she was feeling very well, especially in this time, in her time of mourning. But And then I also have some critiques towards the CBC, because, again, journalism isn't supposed to be leaning towards one side. It's supposed to highlight both sides and share facts.
Yeah.
And obviously the CBC didn't do that, considering they made a very quick reactionary post towards the poster, and then they made a secondary reactionary one, like a double reactionary post towards the post that they made, which is kind of like they could have just hit two birds with one stone and made one post.
Yeah, that's really true, because when you read the initial article that came out, it's just like quote after quote after quote of the criticisms. And I remember reading it, like, you initially engage it and you're like, oh, this is a huge problem, but it doesn't really get at any of the complexities like we tried to get at with the interview a bit, in terms of Negan and other people's decisions to wear their own clothing and that kind of thing. And
I think that she's absolutely allowed to wear whatever clothing that she wants. It's not up to me to police. I am not, like, you have to dress a certain way. Like, it's not white people or non-Indigenous people or settlers often do this thing where, like, they say that you are not the Indian that they had imagined, but now other Native people are starting to do that to ourselves.
Yeah.
And I don't think that wasn't my critique. Like, she can dress however she wants. It's with INAC for distributing that. And,
right.
like, even if they wanted to distribute her looking like that, they also need to include other identities. Like, they didn't include anybody who was Dene or Gwich'in or Slavey or, like, Dog Rib. I know that term's outdated. I remember their current term. But
yes, sure.
Yeah. But they, like, that's the land who the poster was advertised towards. Like, that's their mm-hmm. land. They need to include people like that, or if it's, like, meant to be Cree or Nehiyaw, like, that you need to include Cree perspectives.
Better representative.
Yeah. And, like, that was my main critique, but.
Yeah. And I think, too, like, that's tough, because when you sort of shift it back towards, like, government agencies that are disseminating these images in certain ways that are problematic, it kind of plays into, that's the whole thing that I feel like people that were responding negatively to were reacting at. It's like this really long legacy of misrepresentation mm-hmm. and of generalizing, homogenizing, essentializing that has been going on for a really long time and is still going on. So that's what I meant. I think I thought back on the interview and I guess I was like a little bit concerned even just with my own, like I'd really want to make it clear that I don't want to delegitimize people's reactions, because these associations with Pocahontas and the Native princess, like all of those images are really harmful and very clearly connected to ongoing issues of violence against Indigenous women and settler colonial dynamics in general. Mm-hmm. So that kind of goes back full circle to why I was so critical about the CBC, because they just frame the conversation as only being about that and not bringing in the complexities and more of the nuance mm-hmm. of Negan's own kind of position in it and the other individuals that were in the poster.
Yeah.
And then the whole thing just sort of snowballed from there. And it could have just been more productive if it had been framed in that more complex way.
Yeah. And like, if Negan wants to wear blue jewelry, like that's beautiful. It's such beautiful jewelry. But again, like the CBC didn't include her perspective at all. It just included other people saying or quoting other people saying things. And then also it gave people a really bad impression of it, where by not including her voice, like Negan mentioned that she got some Facebook messages and like somebody sent her a photo of them with blue necklace on and like holding a status card, and
yeah,
like
so
that's just
up.
That's just blatant racism, and that wasn't the initial intention of her as a model, and that's something that people are forgetting, I would say.
Yeah. And I think that's it too, like I think it's important to open up dialogue with these things, but then also recognizing like where everyone is positioned in relation to this issue. And I think that a lot of the backlash you just get, like your typical run of the mill, it's like hate mail, hate posting or whatever from people, and from like that to me is like pretty racist.
Yeah.
And I know that people might respond to that in different ways, but it's just I think that recognizing like who are we listening to. And even on that note, like I think for myself, I've been thinking a lot about this issue and being aware of myself as a non-Indigenous person and as a settler Canadian, and seeing that I'm not positioned in relation to this in the same ways that like you are, Autumn, or Negan is. And so that kind of makes me uncomfortable in and of itself. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where I also sort of became a bit critical of, there's a bit in the interview where Negan's talking about having to be strategic, and I recognize that that's important, but I guess I just resist like the idea that mainstream society can only deal with so much, you know?
Yeah. Like, how is anything ever going to change systemically or at a federal policy level if we don't?
Yeah.
If we don't tackle these issues mm-hmm. and if people don't bring them up, because how are we going to open up dialogue and at least start talking about it if critiques aren't there?
Yeah. And that's why, like, people shouldn't have to limit what they speak out against.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, the issue of white fragility is a real, real big one. And I guess it's just kind of like folks like myself and settlers, that's where we can step back and listen and see how these conversations play out and recognize our own responsibilities to these kinds of stories.
Yeah.
I guess.
Unfortunately, we are out of time. I really like this conversation, though. But now we have our unseated events. So the first one that we have is Hogan's Alley public hearing. The City of Vancouver Mayor and Council are holding a public hearing on Wednesday, January 31st, that is today, on the adoption of the Northeast False Creek NEFC plan, which will decide the future of the reimagined Hogan's Alley. This plan includes the vision developed with the Black community to readdress the historic displacement that occurred when the viaducts were constructed and the Black neighborhood known as Hogan's Alley was destroyed. The proposed amendments are consistent with supportive efforts from reconciliation and redress with Indigenous peoples, Chinese Canadians, and others to build a more inclusive and just city for all. The hearing is happening today. Please be a good ally to the Black community in Vancouver, who have had a horrible history of colonialism and anti-Black racism. Tune in next week for our Black History Month episode to hear more about this.
Next up, Lawrence Paul Yahvalupton, New Works. Lawrence Paul Yahvalupton is an advocate for contemporary Indigenous issues in Canada. Especially relevant to his practice are the elements of Coast Salish cosmology, Northwest Coast design, and the Western landscape tradition. Following his recent solo exhibition at Canada House, London, UK, this exhibition will share new paintings and works on paper developed by the artist. The event will be at McCully and Co. Fine Art, 293 East 2nd Ave on February 3rd from 2 to 4 p.m.
Right, our next event is Hobai 2018, Tsamix Edition. This event will be celebrating the Nishka New Year by sharing their culture through song, dance, and stories. It's happening on February 2nd and 3rd at the P&E Forum. That's at 2901 East Hastings. You can go online and check out more info about the event.
So Ryan McMahon, Indigenizing the Media. How do voices from outside of the traditional settler mainstream media ensure that they are properly heard and represented? How can new media forums play a role in diversifying and enriching the media landscape? Ryan McMahon, an Anishinaabe Canadian or comedian, writer, media maker, community, and activator based out of Treaty 1 territory, Winnipeg, will explore these questions and invite the audience to be part of the discussion. This will be from 7 to 9 p.m. on February 7th at 515 West Hastings. Reserve tickets by email at pubworks@sfu.ca.
And then we have Spirit of the People Family Day Powwow, a family-friendly event. Everyone is invited to come out and share in song, dance, crafts, and food. There'll be many family-oriented games and contests. Grand entry is at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. each day on February 10th and 11th at Skiala Road, Chilliwack, B.C.
UBC Students Indigenous Lit Reading Group welcomes guest authors Katharina Vermette and Alicia Elliott and adjunct professor Joanne Arnett for an informal reading event. Everyone is welcome, 4 to 5 p.m. in the Dodson Room, third floor of Irving K. Barber Center.
And finally, UBC Creative Writing Department presents Locusion, a night of reading by master students and special guests Katharina Vermette and Alicia Elliott and adjunct professor Joanne Arnett. 7 p.m. at the Cottage Bistro, 4468 Main Street.
Thanks for tuning in. Thank you to our guests, Nigon, as a Waukeshin, for making time for an interview in this hard time. And we would like to thank our sponsors, NORAD Electric and Decolonizing Water. The next show that you'll hear is Cue It Up. My name is Autumn Schnell, and you're listening to Unceded Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM.